contrary to what she just said, I've been hearing Carol's voice and no one else's this whole time. She says she can't talk.
You heard what I said. Not the ground.
Well, I see this as a clash then. Does this author believe that the earth will be redeemed and restored, or will be completely destroyed and a new heaven and a new earth will come?
It's redeemed and restored.
What does the author believe?
Redeemed and restored.
I don't think I agree with that myself.
Not based on scripture.
It will be remade through fire, right? That's my understanding.
No, it's going to, all the elements are going to what? They're going to melt away, they'll be gone. It's all the way down to the elemental level, which means what? Matter. That level, it'll be all gone. And then what will come is a new heaven and a new earth. And you know why that is?
Because it has to.
Well, it has to, that's not a reason why. Why does it have to?
Rebuild without the curse.
There will be no trace of sin.
No trace of sin.
And then you have it in a new earth. And it'll be completely different.
And that's why I think our bodies too will be completely new and not our old bodies remade.
Whatever the transformation looks, we only have what the scripture tell us, but yeah. So anyways, I just thought it's not a life or death situation, it's just something to think about. Yeah. But I want you guys to be thinking about, hopefully encouraged as we go through this Sunday school, about what awaits you. So this group here, real quick, what did you talk about? Or what do you want to share?
Well, Carol and I kind of had a hard time with him telling us that they've been a resurrected chair or a blanket.
Or a bath.
A bath.
Yeah, I don't
think that. Okay.
It sounds nice, but does it really matter? I mean,
what's he trying to do? If you were writing this, what's the author trying to get you to do?
I think he's trying to get you to think that that there be similarities but differences.
But the chapter title is...
It applies to more than our bodies.
Yeah, it applies just to more than your bodies.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
He's trying to get us to think in a physical realm.
But this is what we do, okay? And this is what is all humanity. And every one of us here does it most of the time, is that we are drawn towards what we don't understand and what we don't like. We become critical. I'm not saying that what you're saying is wrong, but the bigger point is, he wants you to just think beyond. Did I agree with that? Probably not.
Okay, got it.
You know, and so it's like, I mean, it's possible, and I have a finite mind. Who knows?
Right.
Okay? And so, but I thought that was, you know, I was encouraged by what the last page and a half of his book that he quoted, just for fun reading.
Yeah.
About that battle and everything, and just to take my mind off of this world and put it up to there, what it might be like, and it obviously won't be exactly like that, but it was a good thing. So, Rodney.
So what that portion did for me is the description that he gave was a powerful testimony to the glory that we can expect to see, even if it's not 100% accurate. It's still... It kind of puts that thought in your mind of how glorious it's going to be when we come,
right?
The things that we can expect to see.
I thought he did a good job as well. What do you want to talk about the? Because he had to do it, which is what I'm dealing with, and I've got some kickback. But there are three millennial views.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought he did a good job in a brief way explaining them.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he did.
And I've said before, and I'll say it again, I don't really think that matters much. I just want you to be prepared. Okay? And so,
Yeah, he didn't come across as trying to get you to believe one or the other.
Right.
He just gave them.
Right.
Wasn't
that close enough? But the only thing I was warning you would be... there is a danger. You know what the danger of believing in non-millennialism is? You can be accused of being anti-Semitic, you know, against the Jews because they've been replaced. that's one of the criticisms that is levied against, you know, Amelius. There's no more working with the Jews, it's the church now. What's the danger of believing in pre-millennial, pre-tribulation, dispensational, pre-tribulation, millennialism?
You may not be ready for the tribulation you'll have to go through.
When you start to think that, and it's come out, now there's a war with Israel, he's coming again. Yeah. Well, he was coming again when, and they're predicting a unity between Omar Gaddafi in Libya and Russia. Well, that's not happening, obviously, anymore. Mm-hmm. And so you try to fit these things in there, and you'd be way off, and therefore you have these predictions, even though the scripture's clear. You don't know. That immediately disqualifies you. I see someone down now doing that. You don't know.
Right.
Okay. So anyways, that Erica and Debbie and Roger, the whole table there. Would you guys discuss what stood out to you?
What are you looking at? I just anything built on the foundation of Christ will survive fire and be raised up. So does that mean that? It threw me in a curve because I don't know if it's physical things that are going to be raised up, because it says it's going to be, some will survive the fire. Is that physical things, or is that just?
It's the whole thing. Is it literal or is it figurative?
I know.
And that's frustrating.
It is very frustrating.
Okay.
And Job 19:25 says, my Redeemer lives and he shall stand at last on earth. So that means there'll be a physical.
Right.
I mean, that's not in the book. I was just reading.
And I remind everybody again, I have given you, tried to stay as down the middle on these issues as much as I could with this. And I had to give you a literal reading or interpretation of it, which is going to lean more towards a premillennial position of it. Because it's just so foreign to us to think figuratively. And it's dangerous to go out there, even though there are plenty of good people that you know, believe in the, there may not be a 1,000-year reign, you know, as it says. But to figuratively explain things away, to go back and now reinterpret the entire Old Testament through a New Testament lens, that would mean that some of the prophecies about Jesus Christ, which literally happened, which the scriptures point to, they have to figuratively explain those away. Where do you draw the line between what's figurative and what's literal? It's very, very frustrating.
It is.
And so, but just be ready. Erica, you have anything to share?
I was just saying, he mentions that on page 148, that the whole of that, if you insist that Revelation 21:22 should be understood figuratively, you must then also take all the Isaiah passages figuratively, but Jewish scholars understood them literally. There's every indication Jesus took them literally. So again, that tension between literal and figurative and Old Testament and Revelation. And, I also liked his comment about, you know, when you presented them the views of the millennium, that, you know, in the end, it doesn't really matter if we agree upon that, but to agree that there will be a time of a new earth will reign in the end, and that's what's most important.
Since Don Cruzan's always right, isn't that right, Jan? What'd you guys talk about at your table?
Pretty much what everybody else talked about, the three different versions of millennium. And I liked how he had verses and such to back it all up and put a little more depth into it. The physical beings that will be able to get over, get a hug or something like that. The whole thing about what's going to be going with us, I got a lot of stuff I don't want to. It's broken. So, does that mean my broken stuff? That was a whole different thing that I never even looked at before when it comes to what will happen when we get there. So, that was interesting.
Jim, how are you going to respond to Frank's question about a whole lot of stuff he doesn't want to bring with him? What's your response to that?
It will be before.
He's smiling.
Yeah, well, I have a lot of stuff, too.
It's
restored to what God wants.
So you're like, finally, Frank, you're in shape. We're dead in a glorified body, but finally you're in shape, right?
I like reading this because I have such a, this is my view of heaven normally. Just, you know, very limited. It's a big grassy plain, everybody walks around in their robes, you know, in the mountains in the background. This is just what I've always had. And the thought that be building houses, planning, I mean, working, and whether that's on the new one, but, and also bring, you know, having stuff that you've done in life be there. I, you know, why not? If you know, when everything's burned and, you know, if that's what's left, I don't know. I kind of like it. I like that.
Well, he makes the argument that the, no people remember the past, right, in heaven. But there, be very clear, there are those that believe that that will not be. That when it passes away, what passes away?
Everything.
And then a new form of,
that's right.
Form of things, what? No more. And so it would be totally brand new. So we won't have that, which is why I think then the scriptures say that there's no marriage. You won't remember that. It won't matter because you'll be.
Isn't that for that purpose? Isn't that you erase your memory before the next? Yeah. I don't like that.
There's an argument that goes both ways.
Yeah, look at the martyrs that remember being martyred.
But that's not in the eternal state when the new heavens and the new earth come. Okay? All right?
See, okay. To me, that brings up a huge point. Because to me, the whole reason for us even going through this period of time where we experience sin is so that in the future we'll have a memory of what evil really is and what I myself am capable of and how I know that that's not something I ever want to go back to. To me, that is the only benefit of having this period of time between perfection with Adam and Eve and perfection after Christ comes back. Because Adam and Eve had no concept of what a world full of evil would be. So they had no reason to not take that step into sin, other than God saying, don't do it. And just like all kids that we've all had, you tell them, don't touch that, you're going to touch more. So this gives them the knowledge, oh, when I touch it, it's going to burn me, so I don't want to go there. To me, that is the beauty of what God did.
And again, the argument would be that when this new heaven and earth come, the former things will be remembered no more. And that, what does that mean? You know, if you're going to believe that, then you'll have it during a millennium. Where you wipe your tears and it'll be all of that. Then at the end, if that's what you believe, the great white throne building, all that, new heavens, new earth, all that, the eternal state, that stuff will be there. Who knows? It's just something to think about. Real quick, leave this table. This is where Nancy. Anything?
No.
Nothing? Gone?
Gone.
Okay.
Her cinnamon rolls will be resurrected.
Yeah. All in favor of that.
Yeah.
How about a continual ongoing resurrection, like every Sunday type resurrection? Here we go. What'd you guys talk about? Anybody? Not Marie, you're the man. Come on.
I wrote that our works will carry over into the resurrection. You know, our labor will be valued at different levels.
Okay.
And then the expectation in chapter 14 was of a better place than the Old Testament saints. So he was discussing that, the city of God being placed on the new earth. That's kind of what I got out of it. But I don't agree with the premillennial, the postmillennial, or the onward millennial.
You're pan-millennial?
I don't know what it is.
All pan out again?
I'm looking at that and going, just like you said, the anti-Semitic appearance of that all-millennialism is, I don't believe that.
Right.
So I'm just going like, no. I'm just, all I can do is just whatever he said in here, that's what it is, and I can't add or take away from it.
Debbie, you don't understand. What are you learning? Where does it stand up to anything? Just one thing?
It's just a lot of questioning on everything that I'm reading. It's to like, if I'm taking it literally, you know, it's like I'm believing everything. But figuratively, like when, I can't imagine it. I don't know.
Okay. You know anything? You have my book. It's a blessed book. You have to use it. Anything you learned this whole time? What did you write down?
List. Grocery list.
Grocery list?
Basically.
Well, has your view of heaven changed at all since you've taken this class?
Yes. A lot. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Opened my eyes to things I never even knew, so.
Good. I hope you guys are encouraged as we go through this study, okay?
Well, it helps to broaden your scope of what's possible with God. Because, like, you saying, like, you think it's going to be brand new, I don't know if I agree with that, because he actually, it does narrow my scope of what God can do. If God created in the beginning this perfect place that he wanted everyone to have, it's very possible that he can completely restore it. So I don't know which way I think, but it makes me think.
Right.
Because before I never thought about it. But it does make me think about it a little bit more.
So I'll leave you with this, and this is, I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to you. The scriptures in Colossians talk about we are to set our minds on the things that are above, not the things of the earth. And so if you're struggling to, and I would expect you to, as it's happening more and more for me the older I get, my photographic memory, and the older we are as a Sunday school, you're not remembering as much, right?
Right.
So how do you get it in you then? Keep it in you.
Study it over.
Repetition, and you meditate on it. Think about it throughout the week. Pray about it throughout the week. Okay? That will affect how you feel, because you should, you know, this is my destiny, this is why I have hope. Okay? And,
I wasn't really thinking about heaven as much as I was my conduct in Christ, my walk in this life. And I was more concerned about that than where I'm going. And so this book kind of goes like, oh, well, maybe I should be looking those scriptures up too.
Yeah. Excellent. So we're going to discuss, you know, what the Bible says about how it's going to end. We've gone over that now. We'll talk about the sheep and goats, study the sheep and goats, we'll go over that and all that. So just so you know, again, there's division, and it all happens at once, the great white throne judgment, the judgment of sheep and goats, all those judgments, or you're going to have basically, you're going to believe in two or three judgments. What's the first judgment? We've already been over this, and the book talks about it. Judgment of faith. That happens when if you die before he comes, you go to heaven or hell. The second judgment, or all of it, all the judgments happen at his second coming, okay? Which would be the judgment of sheep and goats and the great white throne judgment and the wood, hay, stubble, all thing, rewards and so on. Or the judgment of sheep and goats, as the text says, is what? Whether you get into the kingdom or not. You separate the nations, right? Where does the right go? In the kingdom. Where do the ones on the left go? Then there's the judgment of the great white throne judgment at the end of the 1,000 years. Who's that for? Who's it for? Who's being resurrected?
The dead.
They are judged. Okay? And if I understand it correctly, that's not for us, because we've already been judged. Okay? So the dead, and everything gives up. See everything. Okay? Now, I don't know, if we're rewarded then, or if we're rewarded at the judgment that you've been, all that stuff, I don't know. But the point is that, see it from this sermon. It's what you do. And I want you to get that, because I'm going to repeat that over and over and over in this sermon. You'll be judged by, and if you want to know, you judge by what you do. Okay? Because what you do represents what?
Christ.
Is a representative or a tell of what?
What was here.
Okay? So you're not judged by, the motives will be judged, yes, but you're judged by what he says very clearly.
Yes.
So what you do. Okay? So, heads up, let's pray. We'll get started. Lord, thank you for this time for everybody here. And your continued blessings be poured out on them. Prepare our hearts for worship and to learn more about you as we seek to be ready when you come again. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.
Amen.
So you said Pam or Linda?
You heard that?
I think I have.